Welcome to the Fire and Earth Podcast with your hosts, Jason Mefford and Kathy Gruber. Fire and Earth, giving you the keys to unlock your limitless potential.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Fire and Earth Podcast. I am your co-host, Kathy Gruber.
And I'm Jason Mefford. And today we thought we'd talk about something that probably inevitably all of you experience probably several times a week. Sometimes it could be several times a day. So I know a lot of time, you know, a lot of the listeners, we're trying to be positive. We're trying to unlock our potential, but inevitably there will be negative people that come into your life, right? So how do you actually deal with negative people or some of the negativity that crops up, you know, without, you know, taking you down off your high? So Kathy, maybe if you want to get us started, because you were talking about some different experiences that you've had that kind of led into this, and then we'll kind of talk about, you know, what are some practical ways people can use to get through this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I still have a private practice, do massage therapy, hypnotherapy. And this woman came into my office for her very first session. And the first thing out of her mouth, literally the first thing out of her mouth was, "My husband is such an asshole." And I looked at her and I said, "Have you thought about leaving?" Now, I don't know this woman from anybody, but when you start our relationship with, "My husband is such an asshole," my next response is going to be, "Have you thought about leaving?" And she kind of went, what totally caught her off guard. So clearly she hadn't thought about it. Our relationship progressed. And after my dad passed away, I saw her, I think like a week or two afterwards. And she said, "How's everything going?" And I said, "You know, my father just passed away." And she goes, "Oh no, now you're all alone." And I just looked at her and I said, "What?" And she goes, "Well, cause didn't your mom die too?" And I'm thinking, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. And she said, "Well, how old was your dad?" And I said, 76. And she goes, "Oh, that's way too young." So everything she was saying, if I was a different person, really would have made me feel like crap. Yeah, thanks for bringing up the point that now I'm an orphan because I've lost both my parents. Mm-hmm. And then my dad died way too young. I recently had the opportunity of doing the fireworks. I helped do all the pyrotechnics at Dodger Stadium for July 4th. Most amazing thing ever. I was so psyched about it. It was like dream come true. And I told her I was going to go do that because I keep trying to make things positive and lighten things up during our session. And I say, "Oh, I'm getting to go do all the fireworks." And she looks at me and she goes, "I hope you don't blow half your face off." And I literally went, "How did you say that?"
Yeah.
Like, why would you even say that to me? Why would that be? Well, oh, well, you know, it's dangerous. Why would you say that to me? And she, of course, didn't have an answer. But she's just one of myriad examples. You know, I had gone to the Middle East a couple of years ago, and I had about a third of my clients that were so excited that I was going. They're like, "Oh my God, you're going to have the best time ever." I had another third that were just kind of like, like mm-hmm. that dog face when they heard a high-pitched sound. They just didn't get it why I would even want to do that. And then the other third, I mean, I heard everything from, "Don't call me for the ransom when you get kidnapped," or, "Oh, I better find another massage therapist because you're going to be killed." "Oh, I hope they don't behead you." "Oh, you're not going to make it back alive." And I'm like, "I'm not an idiot. I'm not driving into Syria in a bikini, you know, seeing the Star Spangled Banner by myself. I'm a moron."
That'd make a great movie, though, probably, right? That's how the movie starts.
Julia Roberts. Totally. Yeah. Maybe Julia Roberts 10 years ago. But yeah, it's like, so we're inundated with this negative stuff. And I know it comes from their own fear.
Right.
Their own fear mixed with concern for me, the Middle East thing, you know. But this woman is just, she lives her life at such a low level of, again, not like la energy, but just a low level of spiritual energy, that everything that comes out of her mouth, she views through this negative lens. She views through this negative life view, which to me is incredibly sad. And I have the ability, because I vibrate at such a high level, of looking at her and going, "Oh." And I try to bring her up. But we have to recognize that. And how do we get people out of that cycle, other than just kicking someone out of my office, which is getting tempting? Yeah. How do we deal with those people that just are constantly inundating us with negativity?
Well, and that's why I think it's you know, we want to give some practical things for people today. But I think it's, you know, one of the things that you just brought up that I think is important for us to remember, right, is as we're trying to be positive, as we're trying to have that high vibration energy and do those things in our life, when those people come in, they can kind of drag us down. And probably the first thing is that we should probably have some compassion for that other person and realize, you know, that the lady wasn't trying to necessarily hurt your feelings. She probably doesn't know better. And she's coming from a place of fear in her life already, right? That's what's causing her to say those kinds of things. So we do need to have some compassion for people and realize that every time you hear something negative, every time somebody says something that, you know, you don't really resonate with or kind of knocks you down a little bit, they're probably not doing it to try to hurt you, but they're saying those things because they're hurting.
Right. That's just their worldview.
It's just their worldview. But the problem too is, you know, I think so much of the time we want to jump in at that point and try to help them. And that it's good to have that, feeling and that desire. But I think sometimes there's not a lot we can do to try to help. And so it kind of, because as we were talking about this before, I just did a speech this week actually, and it was on mindfulness and emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And so at the beginning of the thing, you know, I had 500 people in this room and I'm like, all right, how many of you came here today to learn how to make your boss more emotionally intelligent? Okay, and all these hands went up, right? And I'm like, all right, time out, people. Here's the first thing you have to learn about emotional intelligence. You can't make someone else more emotionally intelligent, right? In fact, the first two things about emotional intelligence is about understanding yourself and your own emotions and being able to control your own emotions, right? And so if we can't do those things first, then, you know, hey. But again, that's where, you know, like when this lady comes in and says, oh, Kathy, that's, you know, that's, you're an orphan now. You're alone, right?
Which I just think is fun. Because luckily, oh my God, what if I was not me? And that, like, that could have devastated me. Or if I would have been in a worse state or a worse mood. Or, I mean, that, what a horrible thing to say to somebody. And I know she said it from a place, it was not meant to be malicious.
Right.
Totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we have some compassion. But then when people say things like that to us, how should we react? Or let me back up. We shouldn't react. We should respond. Okay. But how should we respond, or what kinds of things can we do so that we don't let those other people drag us down?
Well, and that's why I brought it to her attention and said, why would you say that to me? Because it was so unconscious to her. I mean, she didn't think about it and then say it. That was the first thing out of her mouth. Her immediate reaction was, oh my God, now you're alone. She didn't even recognize the fact that she was being so negative. And I get a little more terse with her than others because that's sort of the relationship that we've developed. I don't need to be gentle to her because that's how we talk to each other. I mean, and it sounds slightly dysfunctional, but she actually responds eventually. I get her around to that sort of wake up call of, yeah, why did I say that? Yeah, I kind of strong arm her into questioning that. A lot of our sessions end up being almost more coaching than massaging because we start having these conversations about her boyfriend and, you know, all this stuff. And I've asked her so many times, like, does this conversation feel good to you? You know, you talking again and again and again about how your boyfriend isn't living up to your expectations or whatever it is. Does that feel good to you? Why do we want to keep revisiting that? And what can you do to change yourself to get out of that cycle? Because you can't change anybody else. We can only change ourselves. So I try to give her options to one, recognize that she's being so negative that she's stuck in that pattern. And then two, I try to bring her up. And I have a lot of friends who are Scientologists, and there's something called the emotional tone scale. And it's, you know, 9 and 10 is like exuberant, and it's sort of where I always run. And then you get down to 0, which I think is dead, and 1, which is like anger and apathy and negativity, all that stuff that like sits in that cesspool in the bottom that just makes you feel icky. And the theory behind this in Dianetics is that you meet them at their level and then you can actually bring them up tone. That's how they refer to it. And I'm not a huge fan of L. Ron Hubbard, but I love that system because it kind of makes sense. It's like match them where they are and bring them higher, lift them up out of that. And I try to do that with her. I try to kind of bring her, okay, let's get a little more positive. Let's think about this a different way. How can you reframe this? How can you rephrase that? How can you step out of that negative mucky mire and be happier, be more positive, and then make changes from there, as opposed to trying to make changes from negativity, which is really difficult to do.
Well, and it's the same thing, you know, when you talk about rapport with yeah. with people and the you know, the language you're using, the physical space, the different things like that. It's the same kind of thing. You usually try to meet people at their level and then bring them to where you hope they would be. Yeah. And so that's one thing you can try with people, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same point, you don't need to feel like it's not your responsibility for how the other person feels.
Right.
You know, if we want to try to help them, then we try to help them. But if you feel like you're hitting a brick wall, right, then it's time to kind of either, you know, A, if you can cut those people out of your life. If there are people that are just constantly negative, just try to cut them out of your life if you can. Now, it's hard when it's a spouse, a partner, a family member, right? But you do have the ability to just not spend as much time with them.
Yeah,
you can actually do that, because if they're constantly bringing you down, you know, you don't want to be down at that level. You want to be up higher. And sometimes that means actually making those hard decisions of severing some of those relationships. Mm-hmm. It's funny, a group that I belong to, there was an article that somebody sent out, and it was exactly about that. And about, you know, taking out the pruning shears, if you will, you know, kind of like a gardening example, and, you know, prune off some of the branches in your life, if you will. And some of those might be relationships if they're kind of constantly dragging you down. Okay. So if we can't, you know, necessarily change the other person, but we try to help lift them back up. Mm-hmm. But what do we need to be doing ourselves? Right, so that we don't get affected and drugged down. Oh, Kathy,
yes, you've got your hand. Thank you. We can set better boundaries.
Boundaries. Ooh, okay. So explain a boundary. What would a boundary be, and how might that actually look?
So I had a very dear friend who was in the process of leaving her husband, and he was very abusive. He had cheated on her. She walked in at one point to find him pleasuring himself with the baby in the room. I mean, like, things where I would have taken a bat to his head, she put up with, which I understand, having, you know, gone through myriad relationships myself. I get the difficulty of stepping out of a relationship. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. And hers drug on and on and on. And she would get really close, and then they'd go to therapy, and it would be okay. And then she's going to leave him now. And then she's like, no, we're going to stay together. Oh no, he's getting better. Oh, he's not getting better. And there was this roller coaster up and down. And she kept relying on me for support, which I was totally excited about being there for her. But after the 10th time, it was driving me crazy. And I was starting to get upset, and I was starting to lose respect for her, and I was starting to get impatient, and I was finding myself getting emotionally wrapped up in her drama. And I said to her, look, I love you, and I am going to be totally there for you when you actually leave. I will sit there in the lawyer's office, and I will hold your hand as you sign those papers, but it's not good for me. It's not good for my health to be so emotionally in this roller coaster with you. So I can't have this conversation with you anymore, because every time we get together, it was about her problems and her issues. And it became therapy and not friends. And I finally set that boundary of, look, we can go hang out. I can't hear about your husband. I can't hear about how screwed up he is. I can't hear about how you're going to leave until you're actually going to leave. I can't do it anymore. And we didn't talk for about 10 months. And then one day she called me and she said, I signed papers this morning. And I said, good, let's go to lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, because I realized I was getting way too emotionally involved in that. And so I had to step out of that. It wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for our relationship. And so I set that boundary. It was really hard. It was one of the first times I divorced a friend. And I felt horrible doing it, but I also knew for our future relationship and for my own mental health, I couldn't get that phone call every day anymore. And that was tough, but I knew I had to set that boundary. And I've set boundaries like that with clients of, let's not talk about politics. I mean, I've had clients get so hyper about politics. Yeah. I don't mind having a great discussion, but when they're jumping off the table and they're red in the face and they see the tension coming back in their body, I think that's probably not, I call it job security, but it's really not good for the massage in that moment. Why don't we not talk about that subject? Or why don't we move on to something else? Or probably shouldn't be having that discussion. It's important to know what your boundaries are and to be vocal about those in the kindest way possible. But letting people know what your limits are, I think that's incredibly important.
Well, because I think it's interesting, you use the term, you know, divorced a friend. which sounds so harsh, you know, kind of a thing, but actually setting the boundary is the kind thing to do. It's kind to yourself. It's kind to your friend. And again, even though the two of you didn't talk for like 10 months, maybe almost a year, she still knew you were her friend, mm-hmm. right? Because after she signed papers, she reached out to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, actually, I think sometimes we hold back on setting the boundaries with people because we think, oh, I want to be nice. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a difference between being nice and being kind. Because yeah. being kind means sometimes you tell people things they need to hear that they don't want to hear. And yeah. the kind thing is to actually call them on their shit, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just like you said with that client, it's like, why would you say that? Right? It's like, hold it, time out, bitch. Why are you actually saying this to me? Right? At that point, because that's kind. And again, setting boundaries is a kind thing to mm-hmm. do. Because yeah. if not, then it just sucks all of our energy out as well when we're trying to attract it. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing we can do. You know, another thing, I mean, when people actually tell you or say things like that, right? Again, we can, this is one of the things from neuropsychology, you know, we talked before about the subconscious and the conscious brain. And I think we've even talked about the time delay, right? Mm-hmm. That there's usually about a 6 to 7 second delay between our subconscious kicking in from the stimulus that we've seen until we actually can consciously process what is actually going on. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody says something or does something that is disturbing or makes you go, what the fuck, you know,
kind of,
those are probably the good times to just be calm and wait for a few seconds before you react, mm-hmm. right? And first off, try to say, you know, like you said, well, I'm not really alone. I'm not really an orphan. I mean, as far as I know, I mean, usually when you talk about orphans, it's like some little kid, right?
That doesn't it's have a hard knock life.
His parents. Yeah, us. You know, and it's like Annie going and living to the orphanage.
Right.
You're an adult woman. You know, it's not like you're now have to go live at an orphanage.
Right.
And you have people around you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing, and this is interesting because I had, after the divorce and my father, I've had some days where I've been pretty damn low. Mm-hmm. And I sat with a woman the other night after dance class. We had a glass of wine after class because nothing like working out and then putting in empty calories. And we started having a conversation and I felt like dumping. And I don't get to do that very often because most of my friends are clients and I can't really dump on my clients. That's not appropriate. That's ethically not okay. And so we sat down. She's not a client. She's just a friend from dance class. And I said, you know what? Because I'm actually having kind of a shitty day. Can I just dump all my shit on you? I said, if you don't want me to do that, it's totally okay. But are you okay with me just like spewing all my crap for like 5 or 10 minutes? And she goes, yeah, bring it on. And I just let it out. You know, I didn't need her to solve my problem. Yeah. I didn't need her input on it. I just seriously needed a confessional. I needed someone I could just dump my shit on. And she was so kind enough to let me do that. And I felt so much better afterwards. Mm-hmm. If someone's going to dump, and I've had people start to dump and I go, okay, hang on, let me just ask you this. Are you just having a bitch fest? Do you want my input? Do you want me to help you solve this problem? What do you need from me in this role? Like, how can I support you right now? You just want me to listen? Great, I will do that. You want me to give you suggestions? Awesome, I'll do that too. You want me to hold your hair while you're crying? I can do that too. I think setting, and that's a different way of setting boundaries. That's sort of the upfront boundary as opposed to the, you know, boundary afterwards. But, you know, letting people know what you need and asking them what they need if they're having a negative thing, I think is incredibly helpful too, because then you know where you stand, you know what step to take next.
Well, and I think that's a great, you know, other thing for people to do is those, I don't know, we should come up with some fancy name like pre-boundary or I don't know.
A proundary.
A proundary.
Sending a proundary.
You know, but I think that was, it's again, it's applying that idea of boundaries, but in advance, right? Because yeah. again, it's like what you needed was to just vent and just open it up. Because a lot of times, again, as things are just going around in our heads, if we're alone, sometimes we just need to literally say things out loud. and we need somebody else to be there, right? Because I talk to myself plenty, but you know, it just ain't the same thing, right? Yeah, but I loved how you actually ask kind of for permission and set the boundary to begin with. Because, you know, again, if she'd been having a bad day and she's like, you know what, today I really can't hear that.
Right.
That would have been cool, right? Because you both would have kind of come to an agreement. It's like, okay, I understand. I get it, right? But to have her be able to say, no, it's okay. And what do you want from me, right? Do you just want me to listen? Because I think most of the times when that happens, people just need to let it out. And again, it's not, so if you're the person listening to it, again, it's don't have that attachment to feeling like you have to solve that person's problem, because it's not your place to solve their problem.
Right.
You're just there to help them. And I know I've seen this a lot in my life when I've been struggling, and it's almost weird. A couple of instances like this have happened. I've been so in my head and kind of spiraling, and just felt like I needed to talk to somebody about this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even the talking to them, but I sent a message to one of my friends, and I'm like, dude, I need to talk. You got time today? And he responded back. He's like, oh, I'm kind of tied up until, you know, this time or whatever. But the fact of me actually reaching out for help, I felt the weight lift off. I didn't even have to go through and actually, you know, talk about it, but it was just the fact that I actually reached out or did that, that actually helped. And so, you know, again, and sometimes, you know, if we're the one on the receiving side of that, right? Like when somebody comes in and we're thinking, oh, you know, Jason's going to be negative because he needs to, you know, bitch and moan for a little while. It's like, you know, again, talk about that pre-boundary, like, hey, cool. You need to talk. What do you need to talk about? What do you expect, you know, from this? Do you just need to talk?
Yeah.
Cool. Spew, be negative. You know, it's like one of the guys that I know, he talks about the 5-minute wallow, right?
Yep.
So it's like, you can bitch and moan for 5 minutes all you want. And then it's like, okay, it's done. Now move on.
Tell the story once and be finished with it.
And be finished. Just let it go at that point.
And I also think it's really important that, you know, if I call you and say, hey, Jason, I've had a really crappy day, can I just bitch? And you've also had a crappy day and you're like, you know what, I just can't right now. We can't take that personally.
Yeah.
We can't take that personally. And it's funny. I have a girlfriend. She's also a client, but she's probably more of a friend than a client. Known her for decades. And she's been having some tough stuff happen in her life, as have I. So the day I filed my divorce papers, I found it so incredibly sad. My heart was ripped out. I was in a place where I just like hit this low and I wanted to talk to someone. And the only time she and I call each other is if one of us is like really bad shit. Normally we text and we check in and they talk about poop all the time. And so we do. We talk about poop all the time.
Great school humor. All right.
Yeah, totally. Poop. That's all. And so I actually picked up the phone and called her. So she knew something was going on. And she answered the phone and she said, Kathy Groover, what's going on? And I said, I just filed my divorce papers. My heart was ripped out. I hit a completely new low of how I feel. And I just wanted to talk to someone for a second. And she said, oh, ironically, I just found out that my husband's chemo isn't working and the cancer's getting worse. Do I win? And I said, you do. And isn't this the one time you wish you would have lost? And she goes, yeah. And we both were having such a shitty day. And she did win. That tops my divorce. But we talked for about 20 minutes and she said, you know what? I am so tired of hearing about my problems. Let me hear about your problems. So me sharing my shit actually took her out of her own shit. So it was a perfect, but she and I have that relationship. Not everybody does. Not everybody is ready to hear about my divorce when they found out their husband's cancer is getting worse. You know, it's a personality thing. It's a relationship thing. You have to know those. You have to know what that relationship is. You have to know those boundaries. You have to check in ahead of time.
Well, and I think it's funny because as you were saying that, another thing that I've learned over my life too has been, you know, when you're feeling low like that, if you reach out and try to help someone else,
yes,
you end up getting out of your own funk too. And I know we kind of started off talking about negative people coming in here, but I think it's also that case, you know, sometimes when you're just having a shitty day, if you can try to find someone to, you know, even just smiling or, you know, saying hi to somebody that you normally wouldn't say hi to, doing something to try to serve or help somebody else also helps you out of whatever your funk happens to be.
Yes.
And, you know, again, it's because we want to try to minimize, I mean, negative stuff happens in our lives. Negative Yes. people exist, and you will come in contact with negative people. But, you know, you try to limit the amount of that and try to stay as positive as we can. Give yourself compassion, give the other person compassion, and realize that we're all humans and we're emotional beings.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're going to have good emotions. Sometimes we're going to have bad emotions. But I think, you know, this idea of the boundaries is a really important thing. Because I think that helps us in both ways, right? Yeah. Is again, that we need to have boundaries for ourselves, but also for other people. And, you know, because with that, I think sometimes we overshare, and you have to kind of think about or realize why you feel like that you need to share that, because sometimes the boundary needs to be there. And it's like, mm-hmm. other people don't need to know or get involved in that necessarily. Yeah. And so there almost has to kind of be a purpose behind it as well. And if it is one of those cleansing things, we've just got to get out. But it needs to be appropriate.
Totally. Well. And there's that secondary gain of, there are people that are wired for that negativity. I mean, our brains are wired for negativity. We hear negatively valenced words quicker than positive ones. It's a protection mechanism. Our brain is constantly on the hunt for things that could go wrong, that are wrong, to protect us from that. Others are wired for that a little stronger. They grew up in a household where everything was negative, where everything was worrisome, where everything was fear-based. And once that's wired, that's hard to undo. You know, we can change it, but it takes a lot. And then there are some people who I think have made a pretty clear choice, even if it's a subconscious choice, to stay negative because they get attention for that. We see those people on Facebook. We see those people at the party. We see those people in our family where everything's wrong. And if it's not wrong right now, they talk about what was wrong yesterday. They think about what could be wrong tomorrow. I hope you don't blow your face off. No, but here's the irony of that. Just to add in some irony, I work with fireworks all day. I stood under the fireworks show during it happening. I chipped my tooth on a chicken bone. Eating dangerous fireworks, totally fine.
No problem. No problem.
My freaking tooth, $500 to repair my damn tooth. Anyway, I digress. But no, I mean, I think we came up with some really good tips. We want to, if we can, eliminate those negative people, just avoid them if that's possible. Limit the time. Don't take it personally. Set those boundaries. Set those proundaries.
Proundaries. We might be onto a new word.
Proundary. Oh, well, we just hashtag proundary. Make sure you're not, you know, setting those relationships. You're doing good things for other people when you're feeling bad. And I have actually found that to be true as well. And having that compassion, not only for yourself, but also for other people. So, you know, I think we got a lot of good practical stuff in there.
We got a lot of good practical stuff in there. And I think one other one to just add at the end, and then let's wrap, because I know we're getting close again on time, but it's one of the things that you mentioned too about your friend, you know, that, you know, her husband's chemo wasn't working. You just filed your paperwork. I think sometimes too, we tend to wait to reach out to people that we know and care about until we need something.
Yeah.
And it's so important for us to reach out to people regularly all the time, not just when we need something.
I agree.
Because, you know, again, when we're on a high, you know, we should be calling some of those people and saying, "Hey, Kathy, how you doing today?" You know, it's like, "I'm having a great day. How are you doing?" Right. And actually, you know, develop those relationships, because a lot of times it ends up when we really need something, right, we haven't put enough in their emotional bank account for them to step up. Now, it's obviously different because of your friend and the relationship that you've had for a long time. But that's just hit me more and more, especially as I've talked to some people that have gone through struggles. And again, as they reach out, it's like, why are you only reaching out to me now when you need something?
That's a good point. Yeah. So, and I do that with friends. We're all just all, hey, thinking of you, or I'll send them a little heart or the little kissy face, or, you know, I have a dear friend who on every single holiday, he sends some crazy little cartoon meme, like a July 4th, he sent something, Easter, he sent something. And he will occasionally just for no good reason, text me and say, hey, just thinking of you, hope you're having a good day.
Yep.
That's awesome. What we don't do that enough. And what's so easy with social media is you can do that in like 10 seconds. You don't have to pick, you know, the old days, you don't have to pick up the phone and call them, and, you know,
write
you can
a letter,
actually just
go down and buy a card,
smoke signals and faxes and all that crap. I mean, you can actually just go, hope you're having a good day, click, and it's sent. We need to do that more. We need to reach out and spread the positivity as opposed to just the negativity.
Yeah.
Good point. I like that one.
That just popped in at the end there, kind of off the side. But anyway, so all right. Well, I think that's a wrap then, right?
So I think it is a wrap.
We've talked about negative people coming in or other negative things. We've given them some different practical ways that they can actually go back and try to, you know, develop the boundaries and do some of those other things. So
yeah.
So I think that's we're good for today.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah.
All right.
Yay. Another successful show. Cool. I'm Kathy Groover, and I can be reached at kathygroover.com.
And I'm Jason Mefford. I can be reached at jasonmefford.com. So go out there and implement some of these things we've talked about today, and we will see you on a future episode of the Fire and Earth Podcast. See ya.
Take care.